Gonna take it kind of easy because it's Monday. Wow. I think I'll just meditate just a second or so. Should we turn up the birds? Come on, birds. Oh, hey, birds. You ready for the buggles? That's a Jeopardy question. Alex, I like obscure stuff for 200, please. What was the first song played on VH1? Bing, bing, bing. That was it. It's the Buggles, and it's Monday morning, and oh boy. It's 4 after the hour. Hello. Welcome in. You know, I just broke every rule that I ever learned about being on the radio in the last few months here. First thing, you never tell anybody what actually is happening in the studio. So about 5 minutes before I was supposed to hit the buttons to start the thing, I had a massive equipment failure. Our CD player went, and then a lot of stuff I was going to play for you. I hit the floor along with my pencil. But wait a minute. We managed to patch it up here. We did a workaround. So that's coming up. What was I going to play for you today? Well, we have an anniversary today. And, you know, I've covered this every year that I've been around. Something different about it this year. This is the anniversary of the beginning of World War II. This is Pearl Harbor Day. And I have so much to think about here. I've been to Pearl Harbor. I have many things to say about this. We'd like to hear what you have to say. I will open up a line here at some point. We'll try your live call at 773-907-0724. And while you're doing that, tell you what, remember this fellow? This is Bill Curtis. Bill?
Before and after December 7th, 1941, Pearl Harbor, Hawaii has beckoned visitors to an island paradise in the Pacific. But for 2 hours that morning, it was the site of a sneak attack that changed the course of world events. From that moment on, the name Pearl Harbor would be linked forever with those events and an unforgettable day that will live in infamy. Well before that fateful morning, political tensions had been mounting between the Japanese Empire and the United States. Japan was already engaged in a fierce war with China and had signed an alliance with Germany in 1940. Though technically avowing neutrality, the U.S. was actively aiding England and other European countries that were at war with Germany, while putting an embargo on supplies such as oil to all of Germany's allies, including Japan. By mid-1941, the Japanese government had decided that war with the United States was inevitable. Even while peace negotiations continued, plans were being made to launch a preemptive airstrike against the U.S. naval base at Pearl Harbor, home base of the Pacific Fleet. Sunday, December 7th, dawned across the rest of America much like any other day.
Our reserves are limited.
The nation's radios were tuned to NBC's religious program, National Vespers, or the New York Philharmonic over CBS, or the football playoff between the New York Giants and Brooklyn Dodgers on the Mutual Network. Then came the news that would shock and unite this nation like no other event in our history.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you this important bulletin from the United Press. Flash, Washington. The White House announces Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor. Stay tuned to WOR for further developments.
We interrupt this program to bring you a special broadcast.
Here's the bulletin. Washington, the president decided today after Japan's attack on Pearl Harbor and Manila to call an extraordinary meeting of the cabinet for 8:30 p.m. tonight and to have congressional leaders of both parties join the conference at 9 p.m. And now we take you to Honolulu.
We have witnessed this morning
the attack on Pearl Harbor left 2,335 Americans dead, over half of whom perished when a bomb dropped from a Japanese fighter plane detonated the ammunition supplies on the battleship USS Arizona. There were more than 1,000 wounded, and dozens of U.S. ships were destroyed or seriously damaged. But if Japan had hoped to obliterate U.S. opposition by its attack, the results were just the opposite. Shocked and angered, the country united behind President Roosevelt's decision to declare war on Japan.
No matter how long it may take us to overcome this premeditated invasion, the American people in their righteous might will win through to absolute victory.
The day that will live in infamy. Before and after December 7th, 19...
You got it? Oh, man. All right. Hello. It's 10 after the hour. It's Monday. It's Pearl Harbor Day. It was Bill Curtis, a well-known fellow here in Chicago. We lost the last part of that. That's all right. We're gonna embroider here. So I start by saying, you know, this was a day in which everyone in the country was shocked. Well, most of the people in the country, it was a surprise attack. The interesting thing was that we shouldn't have been taken by surprise. This goes back, wow, I'm not looking at notes here, ladies and gentlemen. It's my mind going, let's see what we can come up with here. One thing that occurs to me in this year, in the heels of 9/11 and all these other things, is intelligence. And the fact is that we knew that the Japanese at the Japanese War College for a long time, the final exam was a plan to attack Pearl Harbor. They had a code word. It was climb Mount Fuji, and that's what they used. So anyway, they knew this for a long, 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 long time. And there's an interesting analysis of all this, and the Secretary of State, I think, is the guy at that point, one of these old farts, you know, with the hair growing out of his ears. He's quoted it, and this is about his response to why we didn't pick up on this intelligence. He's quoted as saying, "Gentlemen don't read each other's mail." Yeah. Anyway, so they did not read each other's mail, and we were in fact attacked on December 7th, a Sunday, here in the United States. Tell you what, let's drop the needle at something that I hope this is the last time I mention President Orangehair, outgoing president, former disgraced President Orangehair. He was at Pearl Harbor some time ago with General Mattis, I think. And of all the things that this moron has done, he actually did not know what Pearl Harbor was about. He asked Secretary Mattis, "What happened here?" Oh, man. Well, Don, let's go for it. All right, Pearl Harbor is still a naval air base, a naval installation. Pearl Harbor is just outside of Honolulu in Hawaii, a beautiful place, and with any luck, maybe I will be talking to you from Hawaii one of these days. Yeah, you know, just a little vacation. Anyway, most of the people in Hawaii live on Oahu, and most of the people on Oahu live in Honolulu. So that's the population concentration. And just northwest of that is Pearl Harbor. I can't fully or accurately describe what I felt when I went there. It's unlike anything I've ever seen. It's a cemetery. It's a graveyard, but it's a watery graveyard. It's the final resting place. So Don, here's what happened at Pearl Harbor. The attack destroyed two battleships, one mine layer, two destroyers, and more than 2,300 service people. That's what happened at Pearl Harbor. The attack was, wow. Not only was it unexpected, we were just wiped out. They couldn't even scramble the aircraft, our planes. They didn't get into the air. They were just wiped out on the ground. These ships that were bombed, you can see, and if you haven't, all of this is it's got archival film. It's just awful. It's just awful. And what happened after all of that? I think it was Churchill who said that the Japanese have awakened a sleeping giant. Yeah. We took this hit and we turned around. What happened the very next day? I was going to play this speech. FDR got in front of Congress, and this is another thing to just sort of throw into our big pile of details that sometimes make sense. This is the last time that we actually declared war on anyone. The anniversary on December 8th, actually, of 1941, Congress passed a declaration of war against the Japanese. Now, wait, hang on. I know, we've been at war ever since I've been alive. I was born during the Korean War, Vietnam, let's see, Iraq, Iran. Well, I guess we were in a war in Iran. On and on and on, but none of those were declared wars. It's interesting that way back, I don't know, Grab, if you want to, for extra credit, go look up the Gulf of Tonkin Resolution, which was something that happened during the Vietnam War, where LBJ kind of did a little bit of an end run around the actual law, and that's what we did. But anyway, the last time, and it's in the Constitution, only Congress has the power to declare a war. The last time we actually did that was on the day after the anniversary, or actually I should say the day after the attack on Pearl Harbor, and so it actually would be the anniversary of that would be tomorrow. So anyway, FDR got up in front of Congress and he asked for a declaration of war. And this is the famous speech in which he said, "The only thing we have to fear is fear itself." And That is the best motto that anybody alive today who's observing the mishigash that has become current events, that's what we should keep in mind. The only thing that we have to fear is fear itself. So that's the beginning of the story, a date that would live in infamy, December 7th, 1941. So what have we learned since then? I got to think about that. One thing that happened during World War II, bad things sometimes generate good things. I think it's fair to say that the equality of women in this country took a big step, a needed step, because the men, and at that point all the combatants were men, they were off doing their thing. But wait, hey, who's going to make the weapons? Who's going to keep the country going? By and large, these were women that went into the armaments factories, and wow, it's funny the way men treat women. At that point, it was like, you know what? Okay, maybe you guys can go to work too. Let's hear a little bit about that. You want to?
Young women of America helping to keep them flying. Today, the aircraft factory is ready to employ Pearl Harbor widows. And at Lockheed and Vega, the first group arrives to sign up for jobs. They'll fill positions ranging from shop and assembly work to clerical tasks. 109 Pearl Harbor widows were given the opportunity to form the first corps of its kind. And those who respond do so with fighting spirit.
It was airplanes in the hands of a treacherous foe that brought my husband to his death. And if I can qualify as an airplane worker at Vega, and with my hands help to keep him flying, I will feel that I am carrying on for him.
Side of the street. Can't you hear that pitter-pat? Yes, happy tune, your step, baby. Life can be so sweet on Sunday side of the street. I just walk in shedding, baby, walk with those blues on red. I'm not afraid, yes, sir. Never have a cent. I'll be rich as Rockefeller, no sir. Gold dust at my feet on Sunset Street.
Louis Armstrong and the Sunny Side of the Street. That's a cornet, I'm pretty sure. Cornet is a small trumpet. Anyway, can he get any more nerdy today? No wonder I can't get a date. The Sunny Side of the Street. You know what? We're going to do some retro stuff here. I'm looking for any opportunity to do something a little different as we wake up each other. It's 21 after the hour. This is the Bleat Network at bleat.network. It's pirate radio, and you can join us in any way that you like to. We're going to try to be a little more regular in just opening the phone lines. I'll do that right now. And you know what? In full disclosure, there's nobody here right now but me. So if I miss the blinking light, don't be offended, and we'll give you a chance. So when you listen to us live between 9 and 10 a.m. Central Standard Time, you'll be able to call in live. It's 773-907-0724. I'm going to ask Natasha Rodriguez, who plays a part of our producer, to call me at some point. Not right now. Sparks. Because we call her Sparks, and I just realized she doesn't know why. Sparks is a nickname from World War II. Wow. It's all coming together, isn't it? Tasha's an example of one of those women that is doing jobs that were once done by men. And to a large extent, that happened during World War II. The idea of Rosie the Riveter. Let me hit you with this. You know Rosie? You've seen the poster, the one that says "We Can Do It," with the very muscular bicep of Rosie. You've seen that, all right? Yeah, that was a poster that was created as part of a patriotism campaign during the war. That poster was displayed for only a few weeks, and then it caught on. It was rediscovered in the government's collection and published in 1982, and the last, I have a French toast in my throat from yesterday. The last surviving Rosie, who became famously associated with the symbolic Rosie, she passed away this year. Remember that? March the 4th of this year. She's 95. Rosie the Riveter? Rosie the Riveter was the first woman in American iconography who didn't wear perfume and lipstick and makeup and all that stuff. The idea of Rosie the Riveter, a strong woman who gets things done while the men are called away to fight the enemy, was born during the early years of World War II. The idea of Rosie, take charge woman who's part of an indomitable sisterhood of leaders, was reborn in 1982 when a poster that I just mentioned was created. The inspiration behind Rosie the Riveter was Rosalind Roz Palmer Walker. She was a well-to-do Long Island 19-year-old who decided to forego a Seven Sisters college education, excuse me, to, hey, it's the other button. Oh, hang on. You're fired. That's all right. to work at the assembly line at Vought Aircraft in Stratford, Connecticut. You could call her the first Rosie. In fact, I got a song about Rosie. You want to hear it?
All the day long, whether rain or shine, she's a part of the assembly line. She's making history, working for victory, Rosie. The Riveter keeps a sharp lookout for seven times. Sitting up there on the fuselage, that little frail can do more than a male can do, Rosie. The Riveter.
Rose got a boyfriend, Charlie,
he's a Marine. Rosie is protecting Charlie,
working overtime
on the riveting machine. When they gave her a production need, she was as proud as a girl could be. There's something true about red, white, and blue about Rosie, the Riveter.
Thank you.
making history, working for victory, Rosie. The Riveter keeps a sharp lookout for sabotage. Sitting up there on the fuselage, that little frail can do more than a male can do, Rosie. The Riveter.
Rosie's got a boyfriend, Charlie.
Charlie, he's a Marine. Rosie is protecting Charlie.
Working overtime
on the riveting machine. When they gave her a production need, she was as proud as a girl could be. There's something true about red, white, and blue about Rosie. The Riveter.
Rosie! You know, I'd like to think if Rosie were alive today, she would be listening to the Cat Empire.
First I saw you standing there, eyes so wide beneath your head, coat worn blacker than the sun, shook your head like strong nurse John. Stood like soldiers in a land, heard the bells of midnight chime. We turned gray walls to fields of green. The only faith that we could stream was while you're still young. Find your heart and find your song. Now where have you gone? No matter where you're going and no matter where you've been, you never needed anybody else's call now. I never met a one like you, never met a one like you, never met a one like you. Don't bring me down. There's a dream that haunts my nights, wild black horses out in flight. Kind of free I'd never been, a kind of beast I'd never seen. Why do all things end in pain? I call the ghosts and ask their names. Is that love you're running from? If you leave, then I will come. And while you're still young, find your heart and find your song. Now where have you gone? No matter where you're going and no matter where you've been, you never needed anybody else's call now. Well, I never met a one like you, never met a one like you, never met a one like you. Don't bring me down.
Oh, yeah.
the Cat Empire. Still young. Still young something. I can't read the end of any of these things. You know what? You know what's really happened, I think, in the media this year? It's 31 after the hour here. I think what's happened in the media is people that have been going to work all these years in makeup suddenly are having to show their true thing. And my heart goes out. I watch some of these people on TV and they're just completely gone, man. Nobody knows where the microphone is. They're like off here. Yes, Bob. Yes, can I hear you? And, I think we've broken through the third wall is kind of what I'm saying here. Let's see here. I got our phone line ringing here. Let's see if I can do this. Sparks, is that you? Hang on. Oh, that was good. Sparks, call me back. I'm sure, pretty sure Sparks is calling me. Let's see here. Do that again. We're testing all kinds of things, including your patience today. I want to see if we can take a live phone call and we'll do this out. So, coming up this week, let's see here. All right, let's try this. Hello, hello, hello. Hello. Sparks, is that you?
Yes, sir.
Thank God. Anybody else? I'm gonna hang up. How are you?
All right.
You know, this is the this is one of those days where I'm not as old as the things that we're celebrating, so I'm feeling pretty good about World War II here. So really, I never told you about the word Sparks. I dubbed you Sparks way back when, and did I not explain that? Why we call you Sparks? There's nothing worse than getting a nickname from somebody, and then they leave and they say, "Hey, well, what are you being?" Is that what the deal is? I never explained Sparks. Is that right?
I forgot. It was kind of an elaborate explanation.
Okay. What have you got? what shall I play this? You sent me. What'd you send me? You sent me a nicknames thing. Should I play that? Then M4A.
Yes.
Is that related? Okay. Let's listen to that together, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about Sparks. My nickname as a boy was Fats. So what I want to say, don't complain. It could be worse. Let's see here. What do we got? Yeah, here it is.
So in thinking about some of my nicknames, first I'm going to say a couple that I still have to this day that I'm called by my mama and my daddy. And then the other nicknames are some that I've encountered while I was growing up, pretty much. So my dad calls me Junior, and I do not have the same name as him, but I've seen a picture of my dad when he was 8 years old, right next to a picture of me when I was around the same age. And I'm telling you, the resemblance is uncanny. I pretty much look like the same person. And the other thing is I was kind of a daddy's girl growing up. So yeah, that nickname definitely fit. The other nickname that I have is Mona. This one is given to me by my mama. So Mona, in Spanish, it means female monkey. I have been called this since I was a kid. And my brother is actually Mono, which Mono is male monkey. So me and my brother are Mono and Mona. When I asked my mom why she gave us these nicknames, she actually didn't have an answer. But my explanation is that we were always monkeying around as kids, and that's why we eventually got those nicknames. Another nickname that I encountered growing up was actually given to me by my mom's co-workers. So my father had visitation rights growing up, and when he would drop me off at my mom's job, there was this guy named Avery. He was a tall maintenance guy. And he used to call me Little Maria. Maria's my mom's name. And that nickname caught on like wildfire. Next week I came back, everybody was calling me Little Maria. There were people coming up to me that I didn't really know that were my mom's co-workers. And they would, they'd try to make conversation with me. Like, hey, Little Maria, how you doing? Hey, Little Maria, do you want some food? Something like that. So that nickname I actually really liked. And, you know, some people didn't know my actual name because they would ask me, like, hey, what is your name? So that was great. Another nickname that I had was not really one of my favorite, but it was given to me by my my friends growing up. I had a group of guy friends that I always used to hang out with, and they would call me She-Hulk. Yeah, no. But yeah, I was always hanging with the guys, and I'm pretty sure I was just as strong as them or stronger, which is why I inherited that nickname. But I'm actually quite happy that I'm not called She-Hulk anymore.
Oh.
And nowadays I go by Sparks.
Oh boy. I'm in tears in the studio. Sparks, you're on hold. Don't you go anywhere. I've got a lot of questions now.
What I do, da da do.
I sing along with the oldies. The real oldies. It's 20 before the hour. It's Monday morning. This is the Monday morning pirate radio program from Bleat.network. And thanks for joining us. If you just tune in, this is the anniversary of the beginning of World War II, Pearl Harbor Day. And we got into talking about nicknames because my producer, let's bring her back there. She-Hulk. I mean, hello, Natasha. It's... All right, come on, I won't do that again. So, gee whiz. So, Junior, that sounds right. I know your dad, that sounds right. Mona, that sounds right. Maria and She-Hulk. Wow, all right. That has, you're like a third of my age. You have four times the nicknames than I ever did. I don't know what's going on there. So I never told you about Sparks. Really? I never mentioned that?
I kind of forgot the explanation.
It's because all
I do know, I remember the World War II part. I just don't remember the rest of it.
Well, so now we're going to break through the gender barrier. You were what used to be called a radio man. And in World War II, the radio operators on ships, because everybody, their job description sort of segue into what they were called, all the radio operators, the radio men, were called Sparks. So that's what that is. So whenever you watch a World War II movie, and like the ship is going down, the captain is like sweat is, you know, pouring from his cap. He shouts, "Sparks! Sparks! Can you call them up?" So whenever you see that, Sasha, I want you to know that could be you. And luckily it's not. So I actually like She-Hulk better, though. We may change that. So Sparks was the radio man. I'm trying to think of all these old nicknames. Bones for doctors. Did you ever watch Star Trek? The first Star Trek, he called him Bones. A doctor is a Sawbones. And on and on. So I like the nicknames. So I was called Fats. Natasha, you think She-Hulk's bad? Try to be a fat adolescent and they call you Fats all the time. That was the era when Batman, the TV show, was on. And first it was Batman, then they called me Fat Man, and they just shortened it to Fats. So later I got depressed and lost 50 pounds, and that was it.
Cool when it's your friends who do it, because it's like,
it's
a loving thing.
It is. Your friends can do things that if a stranger came up and did the same thing, you'd cold cock them, right? You said what? Yeah. Whap. So no, I hear it. All right. What else we got today? I feel like we need to imagine that we're in the same room. And Sparks and I will be normally for folks who are just tuning in. I mentioned how the media has been upended. None of us are in the places that we used to be. So this is a challenge. Anyway, if Natasha Sparks, She-Hulk, I almost said Sky-Hulk, Junior Mona Maria were down here today, I'd have a couple of things that we could talk about. Let's just see here, Natasha. This Wikipedia. I mentioned this. Wikipedia wants me to send them money. I'm going to do that. Is that all right with you?
Yeah.
Did you know
they solicited me as well, yeah.
Did they? All right, well, don't save your money. I'll cover it for both of us. I didn't know that you and I use Wikipedia all the time. I think everybody does. But anyway, they said here, this is the first time we've asked recently, so we'll get straight to the point. They go on for two pages getting straight to the point. Anyway, they want some money. So what I thought we would do with your assistance, I think we ought to call Wikipedia and see if we can get them on the air, and maybe they would explain what they do there. I don't even know where there is. I always thought it was kind of one guy, you know, one guy with like a pencil with tooth marks on it. But apparently it's bigger than that. So.
And mild anxiety.
Yeah, all right. I'm sorry, say that again? You said you have anxiety about that? Oh, his anxiety.
Nah, with mild anxiety.
Yeah, well, no, I think he's got major anxiety, because if he screws it up, it's all over, right? Wikipedia, yeah. You know, you can make a mistake now on the news and nobody cares. You blow it on Wikipedia, the whole world ends. So, all right, that's coming up. We are also now going to do a cannabis show this week, and we're going to talk about cannabis, and I will tell everybody I know about everything I know about cannabis, and we'll talk about legalization stuff and all kinds of jazz. That's coming up. The House passed a decriminalization bill, as you probably know, last week, Natasha, that would decriminalize pot on the federal level. But again, wait a minute, not so fast. That's the Democratic-controlled House. I don't think that's going to happen in the Senate, and we'll get the scoop on that. So. It won't just be legal stuff. I'll play some funny records too, okay? That's coming up this week. And I think we need to talk about a virtual holiday party where everybody, I don't know how to work that out. I mean, the parties of old where people, you know, got hammered and then did things that they got fired for. It's hard to simulate that, but I'm gonna see what we can do. So Anyway, in just a really in just a few weeks, the year is over. So, all that makes sense. Hang on, hang on. See, I have a stack here. Every morning, I print off stuff that Spark sent me, but this morning I couldn't because everything broke. So I came in and it was all broke. But all right, here we go. I'm recovering. Hey, Rudy Giuliani has the coronavirus. You know that? You hear that?
Yeah.
You know what, Natasha? The worst, really, one of the worst things in the world, there's a, I don't know if you speak German, I don't, but there's a long word in German, Schadenfreude. And it means, as near as I can determine, it means to take pleasure at somebody else's pain, to be glad that somebody else has gotten. And that's an awful characteristic. We should never do that. You know, when you're walking along and somebody in front of you falls down, you want to pick them up, right? You don't want to go, ha, ha, ha. But, geez, I'm just saying, but come on. Rudy was asking for it. So, anyway, we wish you well, Rudy. Stay out of the public eye and take stuffing. So, anyway, Rudy's got the COVID. Rudy's got the COVID. You know what? Come on down here. We'll play bongos and we'll do it all morning. Rudy's got the COVID. Let's see here. What else we got here?
Well, the jam session.
I got it. The Schadenfreude Choir. Huh? That works. Am I right?
Yeah.
I will see you later.
All right.
That's Robert Palmer. We are addicted to love. Hey, it's 9 before the hour of, whatever hour you were in. I don't know. You could be anywhere. You could be in New Zealand. In fact, I wish I were right now. I tell you what, we're waking up to a Monday morning. This is the 7th. It's Pearl Harbor Day. And Aaron the News Baron, speaking of nicknames, I have the unfortunate habit of nicknaming everybody. News Baron Aaron, are you there, buddy? There he is.
Hello.
There he is. Oh, hello, hello, hello. I got to turn everything up here. You know, I went to broadcast school. Not exactly. So, Aaron, you and I were corresponding over the weekend. There's a lot of little sort of little stories that were popping up here. And I don't really have any of them in front of me, so maybe I'll just work with what was popping. Hey, one quick thing, man, for you. I almost called you up. I was, and folks that listen to the media in any way, shape, or form have realized over the last months, we have been seeing all these intelligence briefings and things, and people, we look at documents, but there's a black line through that. Somebody took a magic marker and did that. That's called, as Aaron knows, redacting, to redact something.
Right.
So dig this, dude. I had a reason to download the new Adobe Acrobat over the weekend. I had to do some word processing. And on their control board, their tools, there is a redact button.
Oh, cool. That's cool.
I know. So I was picturing somebody, you know, at the Pentagon using the same software that I am, right? He's redacting. So that was pretty funny. So anyway, I'm gonna dip into that. And the other thing that I saw, and I don't think either of us have had a chance to research it yet, is that Bob Dylan has put his catalog up for sale. So I'll look at that and we'll do that. But what I really wanted to talk about was, let's see here, what you had on the stuff here. Wow, jeez. All right, what do you want to do? Drug versus age-related cognitive decline or Iranian nuclear scientist killed using satellite-controlled machine gun?
Well, both are very cool. I like the machine gun story.
Right, okay, go ahead. So what about it? The Iranian...
So basically...
This is the guy that we knew he was dead, and this is about how he was killed. Is that right? This was the top nuclear scientist in Iran. All right, so what about it? He died, and what happened?
He was killed last weekend. But basically, so there was an automatic rifle that was mounted to a car that was controlled by satellites and guided by artificial intelligence.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Crazy stuff. They went all out and beyond trying to kill him. It only fired 13 shots, and it was so accurate, it didn't kill his wife, who was just like centimeters next to him in the back seat.
Jeez. All right. This is from a satellite, all of this? Theoretically?
Yeah, it was guided by sat. I guess they tapped into his phone and used that information to guide. So, like, it's nowhere specifically where to aim, basically.
We don't know for sure who did this. We think it was Israel, but they're up on suspicion. Wow. I don't know what to make of that.
Me neither.
Jeez.
I mean, I know he was a nuclear scientist, which, you know, they're trying to stop that program there. There are a lot of interests in there trying to get them to stop. But I'm guessing maybe they are making some strides that they want to slow down or something.
It's so weird, you know. We're talking about weaponry. I always like to get up in the morning and not be a pacifist for an hour. But we're talking about weaponry and wars today. And at some point there was, I think the term was dirty bomb. There was this weapon. The idea was that it would wipe out people but not things. And what you just read me, it's the same idea. It's like, well, you know, that's all good. But, and they miss the wife. All right. So, jeez. Oh, boy. All right. What was the other one? Oh, this is drug reversing age-related cognitive decline. Should I take this personally?
No, it helps with healthy goals too. So, across the board, looking like we have some things coming down the pipeline.
So, cognitive decline means that you forget what people told you a minute ago. What are we talking about?
So that was the headline, but it was actually a pretty stark findings coming out of here. So basically, this drug called ISRIB. helps with a reversing mental decline,
right.
Increases mental flexibility and making more connections, but it also helps with people with Down syndrome, hearing loss, some types of prostate cancer, and apparently it can help with cognition in healthy animals as well.
Wow. I'm feeling better. Does this cost anything or is it free? Can I go down to the clinic?
Well, I'm sure it's going to cost something. They're animal trials. Maybe Joe will make it like the vaccine here. We'll see.
Oh, yeah. That's all we need. That's all we need, another vaccine. Aaron, the News Baron. Thanks, man. We'll talk more about this all this stuff this week. Wow, I just looked up at the big clock on the wall. I always wanted to be Captain Kangaroo. He used to look at the big clock on the wall. I just looked at the big clock on the wall. We're done, man. See you tomorrow for Natasha Rodriguez. It's Gary Lee Wright in Chicago for Aaron the News Baron. Have the best day you can. We'll see you tomorrow.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies cry. Watch them grow. They'll learn much more than I ever knew. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world.